But this week's Holy Gospel from Mark begins with these words. "Teacher," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." Jesus puts a stop to all this by telling John, "Do not stop him. No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us." People just love to point fingers. For example, Jesus gave perfect clarity to those who brought him the woman caught in adultery. I'm sure you're all familiar with that story. As told in John chapter 8, when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and he wrote in the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." It's also been said in some translations, Jesus said, "Go and sin no more." About the man who was exercising demons, Jesus begins by speaking with kindness and compassion when he tells them, "I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to Christ, will certainly not lose his reward." This man was serving Christ's kingdom in his stand against Satan. And Jesus also used the example of someone offering a cup of water to a person who bears the name of Christ, was also serving the kingdom. That's a great illustration to the apostles that there were many who served God and that he willingly uses other people and their gifts for furthering his kingdom. I want to suggest to you that there are no unimportant services working for God. There's so many things that are needed to be done in the kingdom. It could be just, oh my goodness, I could give you a list. And I'd also ask you to sign up. But hey, just understand that Jesus was explaining that even giving a cup of cold water to a person in need is the same as giving an offering to God himself. When Jesus said the hospitable person will certainly not lose his reward, he was not teaching that righteousness is attained by works. Oh no. Our reward in God's kingdom will not be on the basis of good deeds, but will be because of God's gracious promise to people of faith, those who believe in him. Then Jesus delivered the knockout punch to anyone who leads people astray. I want you to hear what Jesus said. "And if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck." Now, a millstone is a heavy, flat stone primarily used to grind grain. And there are two common kinds of millstones in use in the ancient Israel. One is a smaller one and operated by a person, and the larger one was connected to an ox or donkey, which would walk in a circle, causing the stone to roll and crush the grain. They're light, but they're very, very heavy. How can they be light and heavy at the same time? Well, they're light enough to do the job that's necessary, but heavy enough to crush what needs to be crushed. And a person could push one of them, and you would use an animal to push another one of them. The larger one was amazing because we tried on one of our trips to try to push one of them, and you needed several people to try to do it. So it was easier to grab the animal and use the ox or the donkey. Could you imagine taking one of these things and putting it around your neck? I mean, really. It's heavy enough to do damage. It's not something I want to do. And then putting it around your neck, but then being thrown into the water. You would go right to the bottom. Misleading believers carries tremendous penalties. The little ones Jesus is talking about could be children, but it also could be us. Could be any new believer that comes into the fold and is innocent in nature. They trust people. They trust adults. And because of that trust, their capacity in trust of God grows. God holds parents and others who influence young people and new believers accountable for how they affect these little ones, if you will, their ability to trust God and grow in Him. To cause a child or someone weak in faith to sin means to purposely drive them off the path that Jesus has provided, has mapped out for them, has prepared for them. And Jesus warned anyone who turns these people, these children, away from Him will receive severe punishment, and well they should. Brothers and sisters, this is no joke. We've got to protect those who have been given charge of, who we've been given charge of, and Jesus gives the example of something that the people of His day would actually be very familiar with, showing the seriousness of that behavior. I could tell you there's not one person that knows what a millstone looks like and feels like would want one of these things to be put around their neck and have them thrown into an ocean or a sea or a body of water. It's really funny. Last night at this concert, it's funny how our perspective, because we're talking about the fact that this band was going now to Fort Lauderdale, and Serge, who was one of the singers, was so excited because he was going to see the Atlantic Sea. And it was made clear that it's not a sea, it's an ocean. Well, here's a guy who lives in Russia, actually in the Ukraine. And you think about it, his only experience was to see the Black Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and not really to experience. He got so excited that he was going to be swimming in the Atlantic Ocean. Well, we don't think about things, but really, we take into context the things that we're familiar with. And that's the thing that Jesus used this example about, was to tell people, this is no joke. It's serious. We need to protect those people and to take the most care with them. To have a millstone tied around your neck and then dumped into a body of water meant certain death for sure, by drowning. The horror of that kind of death was nothing compared to the punishment for all eternity. And Jesus took the example a step further. He didn't mean for somebody to be literally cutting off a part of their body. He meant that any relationship, practice, or activity that leads to sin has got to be stopped. People have to be willing to cut off any temptation, habit, or part of their nature that could lead them to hold on to this world and turn away from Christ and then sin and maybe sin again and again. He didn't mean to cut off your hand or to pluck out your eye, but to stop doing the sinful behavior. We've got to turn away from it. And that's what repenting means, to turn away and change your behavior. Turn away from the behavior and turn back to God. That's what it's all about. Jesus was saying, just cutting off a limb that committed a sin or plucking out an eye that looked at with lust would still not get rid of the sin. You'd go and commit it with the other arm or the other eye. Sin begins in the heart and the mind. It was just a few weeks ago in the gospel that we heard Jesus say that it's not that goes into a person's mouth that makes them sin, but it's what comes out of their mouth that makes them sin. It's coming out from their heart. And this is what makes a person unclean. And that is the evil. Jesus is saying that people need to take drastic action to keep from stumbling. Following Jesus means stopping something that is causing you to go down the wrong way. While none of us will be ever completely free of sin until we get to heaven, God wants us to have an attitude that rejects sin instead of one that holds on to it. We need to turn away from it and change our behavior. And then Jesus speaks of hell. Oh yeah, I'm sorry to go against what culture says. There is a hell just as there is sin. Sure, there is a hell, there is eternal punishment. And he tells of a place that has been known as Gehenna. You see, Gehenna was a garbage dump in the Hinnom Valley to the south, right next to Jerusalem. And to get there, you had to go through a specific gate. Want to know what the name of the gate was? The Dung Gate. Now, if you don't know what dung is, ask somebody. I'm not going to tell you from here, but it ain't nice, okay? So you had to go through this dung gate because the people brought that to be burned. It's good fuel, by the way. It really is. Scientifically, you can go and find out all about it. But boy, did it burn, and it seemed to burn forever. You know, it's true today. We don't run out of garbage. You know, it was a couple of times in the last couple of years that the garbage or the trash was delayed in being picked up. And if you didn't get it out into the trash can and bring it out to the street to let it wait out there, leaving it in the house during a hot summer day, I don't have to explain that anymore, but you wish you had a mask on all the time, or at least a filter, because it can get really bad. I want you to just understand that if you leave this stuff around, it can become infested. And that's the point of Jesus' story here, that garbage and fires burn constantly, and worms were everywhere in the garbage dump. Again, this was an example that all these people knew. Even with the constant fire, there were critters, there were worms. And Jesus used words from Isaiah 66, verse 24, and I want you to hear it. He's going to paint a picture of this not so nice place, which said, "And they will go out and look upon the dead bodies of those who rebelled against me. Their worms will not die, nor will their fire be quenched, and they will be loathsome to all mankind." Jesus pictured a serious and eternal consequence of sin and absolute destruction of God's enemies. Worms and fire characterized both internal and external pain. Hell is a real place. It is a place of unbearable and unending torment reserved for those who refuse to believe, first of all, that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God and is the Messiah, and that salvation and eternal life only comes through him. If you remember, the night before Jesus died, he spoke, as is recorded in John 14:6, he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." I believe in him. And with all my heart, I trust in him. And I do not want to hurt him. So when I sin, I repent. And I turn away from that behavior and ask for forgiveness. And he has given us an invitation. An invitation that all we need to do is accept and believe. We need to recognize that and know that he believes us that much. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.